Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. All right, Kevin Pillar is going to join us here in just a moment, and he's tweeting about packing. I guess he's either moving out or moving in, and he found a bunch of Pokemon cards, and he's wondering if there's any value to them. I will not be of any service to him on that front. I have no idea.
I never got into that. I didn't even understand what the hell was going on with that.
No, but it's lucrative, man. Like, there's more exclusive cards than others, and if you have the right ones and they're in mint condition, and there's a big market for it, so... see what he's up to, and I just went upstairs. We're trying to teach my 2.5-year-old. Like, she's actually doing really well. Her language is exploding, and every time I go up there, she asks me, am I done? I'm like, no, I'm not done. You know, like, I'll be done in about an hour and a half, you know? Yeah. Like, I was just up here 20 minutes ago. I still have a couple hours. But she's developed this complete lack of ability to say, I love you, or to respond with love you. And it's starting to throw me off a little bit, because I always say it, like, on the way out. I'm like, she's like, hey, are you done? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, all right, I'll see you later. She's like, all right, see you later. I'm like, love you. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, she literally says, okay, and walks away. Right. I'm like, all right, okay. Well, whatever you want to throw one back at me, at the big guy, you can feel free to do that. So
it is tough.
It's tough. It's a tough one-way street, love you, right?
Yes.
Love you. Okay. See you
and
later.
To get nothing back from
feathers.
Your 2.5-year-old. My 4-year-old's kind of like that, except he gives it to me, love you, but he messes with Steph. Like, he'll like, turn away. Like
he won't give it to Steph.
He's 4, yeah. He
yeah,
tunes
exactly.
her up
your
a
kids.
Little bit. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on the wrong side of it in this house. My wife gets it. Yeah, I love you, too. Me, it's like, no, okay. See you
Check
later.
You later. Yeah.
Whatever works. Yeah, you let me know when you're around. All right, so Kevin Pillar was here for a pretty good ride in Toronto. Obviously, man, best ride of the last 25 years. And the Jays were knocking on the door this year, but he's jumped around the league. He was in San Fran. He was down in New York. And I guess he's always got bags packed. And he just tweeted out earlier this hour, unpacking boxes still, and found my old Pokemon cards. And he's wondering if anyone can refer him to someone that can appraise them. I guess there's real value in this stuff. And here he is, one of the best center fielders in Blue Jay history and making his debut on Overdrive, Kevin Pillar. So you're a Pokemon guy?
Not really, to be honest with you. I was when I was a kid, but I know that they kind of made a resurgence and people were collecting them, people were purchasing them. It's funny, I actually just got off the phone with Donaldson, who's a big card collector, and I was FaceTiming him. He actually happens to be in Toronto right now, and he was walking me through some of my cards that may have some value, some that are not any good, but just more curiosity. I mean, they're just sitting in a store, a box. We just moved into a new house. I'm going through some boxes and knew I had them.
So after you posted that tweet 40 minutes ago asking people for help, the guy who decided to help you was Donaldson? Like, Josh Donaldson is your source for Pokemon card appraisal?
One of them.
Okay. All right.
I don't mind that.
I got a couple other people, but, I mean, Donaldson, he's got quite the collection. I'm not going to reveal the value he gave me, but it's a small fortune.
Okay, wow. Man. I've heard it's lucrative.
He knows what he's doing. I remember being in the clubhouse with him and him talking about buying and, you know, trading cars. And I was like, I thought that was something kids did. But apparently he was onto it before, you know, it became very popular again.
Is that one of the most unique, I guess, hobbies that one of your teammates has ever had? I mean, I know you hear guys like to stay busy with things away from the field, away from the rink. Pro athletes do that all the time. Is that one of the most unique hobbies you've come across?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting hobby, collecting sports cards. He collects a little bit of the Pokemon stuff too, but he's mostly been into basketball and football cards. You know, Longoria is the same way. Longoria is a big trading card guy. He posts on his, he goes Instagram Live all the time, and you know, is you buy like boxes of cards and they reveal them live. It's a big thing right now. I don't know much about it, but apparently these guys do well with it. So I thought I would kind of jump in.
Yeah, man. Well, a lot of that stuff's like going online, right? And I guess, yeah, you can buy, what are they called, NFTs?
NFTs, yeah.
NFTs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm slowly learning about that. A teammate of mine, Trevor May, is very, he's big in the streaming world with video games and the NFTs and stuff like that. Taiwan Walker was big in the cryptos and Brandon Nimmo. So that's the cool thing I felt like that I've got to experience in, you know, the last 3-4 years of my career, you know, kind of bouncing from team to team as I've just gotten to meet so many different people. It's fun when the season's going on and I go to different cities. I usually have an ex-teammate or friend on every team we play against. So as much as I loved and, you know, still open and honest about staying, I would have loved to stay in Toronto my whole career, played there. It's been pretty cool to get to go other places and, you know, have different teammates and, you know, learn a lot about a lot of different things from different people.
With Kevin Pillar, well, that's it. I mean, this is all you knew, obviously, up here in Toronto when you made your debut in 2013. And you were all the way up. You were here all the way through, well, partially through the 19th season. Then you were in San Fran, Boston, Colorado, now with the Mets. And those teams that I referenced just prior to having you on, the 15 and 16 teams in particular that went to the back-to-back ALCS appearances, like the whole team just scattered. Like now we're into 2021. That feels like a lifetime ago. I mean, all you guys are scattered all over the league. A bunch of guys have retired. Are you surprised by that at all? I mean, you guys had such success. Even Alex Anthopoulos, the architect of the team, is down in Atlanta, and he's jumped around a little bit. Like there's really no one left here in Toronto.
I think that was a big part of it as well. I think, you know, Alex leaving and, you know, Mark and Ross taking over. You know, it's something that I think you kind of learn on the fly. And now that I've been around it and seen it, and I'm probably going through it and experiencing it, was trying to tell guys this year with Steve Cohen taking over, buying the Mets, that you're going to see a lot of turnover. These guys, people at top kind of believe in bringing in their own people and their own guys and want to do it their way. It's not wrong. It's not right. It's just how they operate. And, you know, Mark and Ross obviously had a plan where slowly but surely they wanted to get rid of, you know, most of the guys that were there and start over and start fresh and start young. And, you know, what they've been able to do over the last couple of years has been, you know, exciting to watch from afar. And obviously the future is really bright there. They were very close this year. I think people are starting to, you know, once again, realize, you know, how great of a place it is to play there. You get people in the door and you get them to Toronto, which, you know, took parts of 2 years to get people back there to kind of experience what it's like playing in Toronto. And it probably took until the last series of the year to, you know, pack the stands again. But it's a one-of-a-kind type of place to play. And I think, you know, what they're doing there is going to be something where they can have success over a long period of time.
I'm sure all your media recently has been about, you know, the pitch that hit you to the face. First and foremost, how are you and doing and all of that? But also, how much would your phone blown up after that, like when you know, people checking on you, all that type of stuff? I mean, maybe walk us through, you know, kind of the aftermath and how you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the morning, the next morning I woke up, probably a couple hundred text messages from, you know, friends since I was a little kid, high school friends, summer bowl teammates, big league teammates, minor league teammates, I mean, coaching staff that I've had, all the different places I've been. I mean, the outreach was unbelievable. Once again, it was a, you know, that was the nice thing about being very traveled is I've been able to make a lot of different friends in a lot of different places. And, you know, the outpouring was unbelievable. But yeah, I feel good. I do have another, surgery, set for early December out here in Scottsdale, just to, you know, correct some of the stuff that, wasn't fixed in the immediate surgery. We kind of just pieced it back together so I can get out there and play as soon as possible. Now comes the actual, you know, cosmetic part and fixing the septum wall that was destroyed after getting hit. So besides that, I feel good, fortunate, and
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds gruesome, man. It looked gruesome. We talked a lot about it when it happened. We're chatting with Kevin Pillar, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did you not come back and hit a home run in your first game back?
Not my first. I got a hit my first at-bat back.
Okay.
They told me, so once I had the surgery, the surgeon told me I could be cleared in 10 days to play, and I did everything possible to get myself ready in 10 days. On the ninth day, we were flying to Arizona, and they told me that they wanted me to still go through a couple different things, and came up with a compromise that I would be active on the 10th day. That same day, I just wouldn't start. I would come off the bench and kind of ease myself back into playing because I didn't do any rehab assignments or anything like that. And fortunately, we got up a lot in that first game back, and I went in and played defense for a couple innings, and I was able to come up in like the seventh or eighth inning, and I got to hit my first at bat. And I just didn't know how I was going to feel stepping to home plate again. You know, it's easy to say that I was going to be confident, that I was going to treat it like every other bat I had in my life. And, you know, when I got up there, you know, Mets fans were great. They traveled to Arizona and, you know, got a standing O, and my heart was beating fast. And that was more, it took away from any fear that I might have had. It was just this excitement to be back in the box and kind of this nervous feeling of more excitement than actually being scared. And I got the hit and never thought about it again.
That's incredible, because I remember us, again, tracking it closely. And when you were coming back, we talked about that. We were wondering ourselves from afar, playing amateur psychologists, like, what is his mentality going to be like? Like, that was traumatic. When you took, you know, a fastball off the face and it was gruesome and the aftermath was what it was, you know, we were wondering, we're like, how is this guy possibly going to step in? And the way you just detailed it actually says a lot, I guess, about being a pro ball player, right? Like, they're throwing high 90s, man. Like, they're coming at you.
I had to remind myself of just how many at-bats I've had in my life, not just in the major leagues or professional ball, but, you know, dating back to when I started playing kid pitch, that I've been in that box a lot of times. I think in high school one time I got a glancing pitch off like the jaw a little bit or the chin on a rainy day where the ball kind of slipped out of someone's hand. It might have caught my shoulder first. And besides that, I've never, you know, this never happened to me. So I just try to remind myself that it was one in 100,000 of at-bats I've had in my life, that it wasn't something that happens very often, that I couldn't allow myself to think about if it was going to happen again or could it happen again. But I will say I started wearing the C-flap protector, and I think it's just a smart thing to do. I think most hitters should wear it.
We're chatting with Kevin Pillar. We'll get you out of here on a prediction, I guess, in terms of the National League side of things. You've been in the National League now for a few years. When you're in San Fran, you're familiar with what the Dodgers are bringing to the table, and being in the NL East, you know what the Braves are all about. Dodgers down 3-2. They're heading back to Atlanta. How do you see this series playing out?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't. The only game I've actually sat down and watched from start to end, aside from like leaving to put my kids to sleep, was the Game 5 Dodger Giant game. Just obviously growing up in LA, I was a Dodger fan. Mm-hmm. I got to play for the Giants. I still have a lot of friends on that team. Still kind of in awe of the type of season they had, to be able to kind of go, you know, coast to coast and win that division where no one, I think they had probably less than a percent odds of winning that division at the start of the season. To be in a position where they're in Game 5 versus the Dodgers, that, you know, are the clear-cut favorites to win the World Series again, was something I had to sit down and watch. Usually the games are on my TV in my house as I'm playing with my kids, making dinner, doing all that stuff. I'm in tune with what's been going on. I just haven't really sat down and watched a game start to finish. But my prediction is I think the Braves figure out a way to get it done. I know the Dodgers, just the amount of talent that they have is, you know, really what separates them from a lot of other teams, and their depth with, you know, guys like Turner getting hurt and Muncy getting hurt and still being able to be, still roll out a lineup of all-stars. But I think the Braves, you know, just playing against them, I think they just have something special. I think Alex creates this environment that, I think they're so close. I think it's the year they get it done.
Well, they're certainly in the driver's seat.
And I think
is Charlie Morton
starting that game too?
Yeah, he'll be pitching this weekend. Yeah, he'll be pitching this weekend.
I put my money on Charlie. That guy is filthy.
Yes. Yeah.
He's one of the guys where I'm like, if I'm not in the lineup that day, I'm like, I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting the coach to get in the lineup that day. I'm like, okay.
You got your reasons.
I'm not going to find out what they are, but I'm okay with it. If I'm in there, I'm going to try my best. But if I'm not, I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll get the next guy.
Yep. I think he might get the ball for 7. So there you go. Yeah. And if that's the case, so be it, man. We'll see. And I'm looking forward to seeing that play out, and we'll take that to heart. It's always great catching up with you, Kevin. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, man. And good luck with the Pokemon cards. And we'll do this again down the road.
Thank you.
There he is, Kevin Pillar. Former Blue Jay, now with the New York Mets. One of the most gruesome, hit by a pitch plays of the last decade, man. Like, it was.
Yeah. How about him detailing it? He's detailing it to us, and then he's like, other than that, it's fine.
Like, I know. I started laughing. I think he was just being serious, too. I was like, wow, man. That's,
I know.
Like, he's a gamer, clearly.
I know. Like, I started laughing, too. I think he thought, like, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I'm like, other than that, like, we'd all be. You know, not playing 10 days later.
Ten days later.
This guy's an animal. I love it, and I respect it so much. You know?
So do I. Yeah, when you see what other guys throughout sports are like, I don't know if I'm going to go. This guy easily could have been done for the season, and it would have been understandable.
Easily. Yeah.
Easily.
Exactly.
If you said this guy's not playing again this year, you'd be like, I understand that. Look at the surgeries he's got to go through. They have to basically put his face back together.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was out there with two black eyes, the broken nose, the fractures, and gets a hit his first at bat. That's awesome, man.
Impressive.
Shout out to Kevin Pillar. We appreciate him joining us.